hate that I revealed my heart to you there a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you did.
You know, and me and the preacher had some good fellowship there. I mean, about some things of the old and scenarios and times we're in. Let me get my glasses out. You know, I want to preach on the voice from the shore. The voice from the shore. And let me get over here right fast. John chapter 21. And we'll read the whole chapter, okay? John 21. And as we read, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, Nicodemus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to him, I go a-fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered to a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore now, that were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat with him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw fire coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of big fishes, 153. And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto them, feed my lambs. He said to them again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went him saying abroad about the brethren, that disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said it not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Abba Father, Lord, thank you for this morning.
Right.
And I ask you, God, that
right.
While we try to preach this place, and that all of the things that you want me to say, and the place that we're standing at this moment, that God, you would help me to be able to say, that's what's needed for these people.
Amen.
I pray for your unction. I pray, oh God, that I'd be an instrument that you could flow through, that I could open my heart, as he said, and that you might work in me, that I might work through them. I pray, oh God, that you might do something for them in this week's meeting. I pray that the Lord might be made manifest
and that people might get help from God. Help this pastor and these people.
Right.
That God, this word, would continue and grow in the grace of God. And that, Lord Jesus, we'd be able to say that it was going down for the glory of God.
Right.
Lord, all of our prayers in these days, in the moments that we have spent with you, I know not what, Lord, is to be said. And I know not what to say and call on you about and to speak to your face and ask of you. But as I stand here now, in the manner of my ways and my work, I pray, God, that I do your will.
Right.
And I work your work in my life.
Right.
And I give you the grace and the glory for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right.
I'd like to talk a little bit to you about a voice from the shore. A voice from the shore. And I looked at the voice, you know, you reference the Bible about voices. And all Hebrews 12 talks about the voice at Sinai. That they was that voice they heard when he was up on the mountain. And they said, I'm not going to get too close because there'd be a dart shot through to them. They died. They were fearful of that voice. Then you have the voice that came on the day that you were an hardening of your heart. He said, not to hear the voice of God in the day of provocation and harden not your heart in unbelief. Don't harden your heart in unbelief. The voice of God in the day of your life. Then there's a voice at the door. The voice at the door is Jesus sitting there knocking on the door of Laodicea. And that's one I just keep on running toward. About Laodicea. I was going to preach a little on that. But the door, he knocks on the door and he wants to come in and sup. He's at the door of the Laodicean church. They're rich. Increased with nothing. They have need of nothing. They're rich people. They got all they want. They have everything they have. But they said, like you said this morning, they're miserable,
right.
Poor, blind, and naked.
Right.
They're miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Right.
And then he gives them a great statement to them. He said, repent. He said, for as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Right.
What a love. A chastening love.
Yes.
A rebuking love. As many as I love, I rebuke. Be zealous. Be red hot, therefore, and repent. Turn from that way and get red hot for God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, that turns the count, any man, will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. He stands at the door and knocking on this Laodicea church that's rich and increased with nothing, and he can't get in. They don't want him to come in and sup with them.
Right.
Now I want to sup with the Lord, don't you?
Yes.
The voice is at the door knocking and wanting to come in. Then we get to the voice that's going to call one day out of the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the archangel is going to say, come up here.
Right.
The voice of that archangel is going to call us out of this world.
Sir.
And we're going to be delivered out of this world by the power of God. There ain't no way you can do it, honey. I'm glad I'm kept by the power of God,
right.
Don't you?
Yes.
And the one that's going to deliver me up is the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Man.
He's the one that's taking me up. I'm sealed under the day of redemption. Wherever I'm at in the grave, wherever I'm going to be delivered up by God's power, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
There's a voice going to call for the church one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to speak to the voice calling from the shore. There's a voice calling from the shore. Calling on the preachers, calling on us in these days.
Mm.
He's calling on us. And what the ones that he's speaking to is the very first. Let me say this. These ones that are here, not only do we have, the answer is from Peter. You know, Peter was there. He said, I'm going a fishing. He said, I go a fishing.
Yeah.
And then the call comes from the shore. He's got him out there fishing. Hear a call from the shore. He asks you, have you any meat? He asks you, have you any meat? I go fishing. Peter went back to his job. Peter said, we're going to go back to fishing. You know, anybody want to go fishing with me? You know, because Jesus had left and he wanted to know if Jesus had gone.
Yes,
and here he goes. He goes back to fishing. And while he's out there, there's a call from the shore. There was a call to him and said, have you any meat?
Sir.
Have you any meat?
Yeah.
You know? And the answer was, no. No, we ain't got a thing.
Right.
That's where it's going on. No, we don't have nothing. We ain't caught any fish. We ain't caught a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you any meat today? No, we ain't caught no fish in a long time, buddy.
Yeah.
He said, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. And the voice coming from the shore is that, are you got any meat? No, we ain't caught any fish in I don't know how long.
Right.
I ain't caught no real. You caught any fish? I don't see many. Amen. What did I say? No, I ain't caught no fish.
Right.
Ain't caught it. There's a lot of, and I looked there, and the failure of that place of not catching fish is not final. But the preachers that left in the matter of my pastoring, I hate to go back and just reminisce of all the things that's what I just do. And I guess that's where I'm at right now with you. You just have to put up with me.
Good.
Yeah, that's all I can say. But I got a lot of memories. And
sure.
Got a lot of things about where I went fishing. And I went fishing. I caught fish. You know what I mean? I went and caught some fish. You know, God made me a fisher of men.
Right.
The call of God. God made me a fisher of men. I went out fishing for souls. I left my church and went down fishing for souls. I left the tabernacle under ordination to send out the gospel preaching at a local church down there. And I found some fish, amen. My fishing hole was pretty good. Rockwood, Tennessee, buddy. Right down there. I went out and caught some fish.
Sir.
But this time was, he wasn't catching no fish. Mm-hmm. Wasn't catching any. Then they had to admit it. No. Ain't catching no fish. Ain't catching one. There's a young man named John Treadway. He announced his call when I sent him out from Guadalajara. He went to Mexico. And they went down there and to start a work. And John was had a lot of things about him. You know, he was a good old boy, good old country boy, loved God. And he wanted to honor God, and he wanted to start a work. And so he went down there, and he wouldn't listen to the words of the preacher down there that tried to help him to come in there and get the work going. You know, and I tell you about John, was he'd shout, he was off the shouting fellow I was, you know. And he sat right behind my wife. And his services get on, and they just sat there, you'll be sitting there, and I'll get behind Zach, you can't see me. Like I say, Brother Zach would be me. And my wife would be sitting right behind him. Oh, no, he'd be sitting behind her. You'd be my wife. Okay, you can be him and let your wife be my wife. Okay, it's getting on in the church and he gets to shout. Stand up, Zach. And he's a shouting over her head, slinging his arms, you know. He's a shouting going on. She's doing this like this, you know. She's trying to duck him, you know. He's a going on. Wow! What is that going on, man? He's a shouting over the door. John's going out there. She's a silly on John. And he's a going all over everything, you know. And he's a real country boy. He's real smart. I mean, he's a good old boy. He loved God. He could preach, man. He could preach up the stores. You know, and one time I had Dr. O'Malley, John O'Malley, y'all know Dr. O'Malley. Anyway, he come and preach. He's a Yankee, you know. He can speak real proper and got all that good language. You know, he don't have no slang about him. He's got that good proper English. You know, always die after them, but I ain't got none. You know, I ain't got none. You know, so I ain't got this. So and his brother John's preaching. You know, he's going on, and he sat there and he said, write that down, Rosie. His wife's name, Rosie. And she sat there and she said, I can't even spell it, John. I know that's all you know. I can't even spell it, you know. Now, this is loud going on through the church, you know. But everybody loved old John. Old man loved old John. And he got his deputation in a year and a half full of support. Mm. Son, and he got there and he headed on into Mexico. But he needed to let him out in because his wife couldn't take it. Because the federales was scared to death. You know, if he wanted country, study to get across the border. fed her all this stuff, and she had a nervous breakdown. I mean, totally. So he'd come back home. And he'd come back home, and he was in the church that morning, and sitting there after she had been up our rehabilitation for a while. They're sitting in the church that morning. And old Terry Pace, I don't know if you know him. He come in there that morning and preached on failure isn't final. Failure isn't final. Gave a message to that old boy. Failure isn't final.
Thank God.
I want to say to you, you've been a fishing, you ain't caught nothing. Failure isn't final, brother. Amen. Failure isn't final. It's not final, buddy. Right. It's not over, man. Yes. The voice from the shore says, have you any meat? And you got to say, no. Ain't got a thing. Ain't caught nothing. I don't know when. Ain't caught a thing. I don't know when. I want to tell you, failure isn't final. Failure isn't final, brother. He said, what did he say then? Not only hear the call, but he said, cast your net on the right side. Throw that net out again, buddy. Amen. Cast that net on the right side. Throw it out again. Amen. Do what God says. The next voice said, cast it out again.
Right.
Cast it out.
Man.
And they started catching them, didn't they?
Sure.
They caught so many, they started catching. So cast your net out on the right side. Mm. Keep on casting it out the right way.
Yes, sir.
Keep on witnessing, soul winning, and telling people about Jesus the same way.
Good.
We don't need to get any other way, any gimmicks, anything else. The gospel will still work.
Sure.
Telling people about the Savior will still work.
Man.
Rescuing souls will still work.
Man.
Go and tell them about the Lord of heaven, it'll still work. Cast it out the same way that it's always been cast out. Cast it out on the right side. Amen.
Sir.
Amen. Cast it out on the right side.
Amen.
Not only the voice of the call. They said, have you any meat? The voice of the commission to cast it out on the right side. And they found fish. They had so much and they had to load it. And then they found out who it was. And then they found out it was Jesus, the commission, the call, the commission. Now, the communion that comes with them. The communion was that they said, it's the Lord. And here's old Peter. He'd always been that front runner, ain't he? You got a Peter in your congregation. Always got a Peter. I sort of liked old Peter, didn't you?
Right.
I sort of liked old Peter, man. At least he was doing something.
Amen.
He might have cut some ears off, and he might have done a lot of other stuff. But at least he was doing something.
Amen.
That other crowd just looking on, you know. Amen. He still wanted to get something done.
Right.
He still loved the Lord. And the first Peter, the first person Jesus told to tell that he was resurrected, he said, go tell Peter. Go tell Peter. He was the first one.
Right.
You know, and he was one that deserted him and one that denied him.
Yeah.
And the one that defected him. He was the one that turned away from him.
Yeah.
He was the one that went away. But the Lord said, go tell Peter that I'm here. He was the first one to tell him. I'd rather have one like Peter than have one that don't want to tell nobody anything. Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's one that wants to go.
Here
we go. Amen. The commission. The voice said, go and the voice gives the commission. It won't be long now, because I'm preaching now. It don't take long. It takes a long time to tell stories.
Yeah,
it takes a long time to do that. It don't take long to preach.
Yeah.
You have the call. Have you any meat? You have the commission. Cast it on the right side. Cast it on the right side. And then you have the communion, and that said, come and dine.
That's right.
That's good. Amen.
The boy says, come and dine. Come on in here and sit down with me for a while. Come in here and dine with me.
Right.
Jesus had him a meal already prepared on the shore.
Yes, sir, buddy.
You know, what a thing. Jesus is fixing to feed him.
Right.
You know, or today he's going to serve us. You know, or today he's going to rejoice over us.
Sure.
You know, that's unbelievable how the Lord's going to rejoice over us.
Right.
And then the Lord Jesus Christ to serve you.
Sure.
My goodness, who was that this morning? Somebody talking about just that all the time, just telling him how much you loved him.
Amen.
You know, or you want to say, are you sorry because of all the things that, you know, that all, you know, tell him how sorry you was that you praised him. I know, Jesus, or how sorry you was that you didn't, you know. He's going to feel all bad about you, sir. I'll give it up. He's going to serve you.
That's something.
He's going to serve us one day. You know, why can't we serve him now?
Yes. Amen.
Why can't we serve him right now with what kind of life
that you spoke about this morning?
Sir.
The voice from the shore is not only a call to ask you this morning, have you any meat? You just might as well admit it. No. We haven't caught anything. Right. We haven't caught anything in a long time. We ain't caught nothing. Okay. He said, well, cast it out on the right side. That don't mean you were going the wrong way. It means just cast it out the same way that it always. Cast it out the right way. The same way. The gospel. The witnessing. The telling people about right. The Lord. The go out and win people to Christ. To get them to Jesus, bringing them into the house of God, teaching them and training them in the things of God. Amen. Rescuing some families.
Sir.
You know, how many people that you know, and people, they don't let it, there's not many people at all care about others.
That's right.
Don't care about others whatsoever.
Amen.
It's such a selfish, now here we're going to get in, but it's what's going on.
That's right.
You're telling us and talking to us just a minute ago. About in Cambodia, where it was the starving, the food, and how that. And brother, I just sat there and listened to you. When I went into Vietnam, and I went in there, I would come in at Cameron Bay, and I'd never been in that country, you know. And that night, we stayed in that. I didn't know that that'd be about the last hot meal I'm going to have for about a year. You know, and we got that hot meal, you know, and I just come from the States, you know. And, the Army Pot Meal, man, back when after a while you got one out there, that was one of the greatest meals you ever eat because all you can see rations, you know. And but at that time, I just got filled. And they'd feed this hot meal, and I just, you know, I just want it, you know. And I went out there, and I was throwing it in the garbage can, and those gooks out there were picking it out of the garbage can. Picking it up out of the garbage can, taking it home to eat. How would you like, sir, if they, well, let's get a little older. We don't have another soul age. I'd be about this little girl's age, but the boy would be. You don't have any of the age I want. The young man, you had a young man, maybe he's about 12 years old. Say he's about 12 years old, and his sister is maybe, baby son, she's maybe be 15, or maybe 14. And you'd be walking down, you'd be on S&D, search and destroy, without, you know. And baby son would come up to you, or a boy son would come up to you. He'd grab you for ticks. You'd watch him, you wouldn't leave him. You'd be watching him, you understand?
Yeah, right.
Because they couldn't be caring, you'd watch him. And that was one thing I had to, God had to help me in the killing of children. Anyway.
Yeah.
Come up to you. Baby son, 500 feet. Baby son, 500 feet. He's selling his sister for $5.
Try.
You know, that's the only way to get money. And you go to their houses. They didn't have bathrooms and lights. They didn't have electricity.
Right.
They lived in hooches. They lived in air. They lived off in rice. You know, and at the night time, everything out time, when night light, when the dark, when it got dark, everything outside was DC. They were, if you did not move in the night, once the night come, everybody was enemy. Anybody outside that perimeter, I don't care if it was a baby, I don't care if it was a woman, I don't care what, they were enemy. They were the enemy. So what did they do? They stayed in their houses all night long, every morning. About before daylight, you hear them clanging down the road, you know. They're coming clanging down. Where are they going? To the market. They're going to the market to trade. Where's Papa's on there? They're out in the rice paddies. Amen. They're out in the rice paddies making rice. They don't have nothing. Don't have a thing. Don't have a thing, buddy. Poor. Don't have nothing to eat. Going on. Nothing, you know. And I don't. You don't need to bring things. What? My kids, they better not. Well, they don't gripe. They love to eat, you know. Y'all watch them eat. They love to eat. You know, they don't gripe about it. They know better. Hallelujah. Got everything in the world, man. You ain't got no reason to be griping at people. Amen. You ain't got no reason to be complaining. Amen. You got a home. You got clothes. You got food. And some of you got good health. You ought to thank God for that.
Sir.
You ought to thank God for that. Amen. You might have been born in Vietnam where they sold their own children and their own babies, and their babies were blown apart and they died. And I've seen them fall out of helicopters. I've seen them die. I've seen them die, buddy. This little bunch we got around here nowadays, you don't know why we're so mad. Quit your complaining. Quit your griping. Quit saying hallelujah. You know, today have this Christmas time. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the great work of Christ. That I'm saved. I'm in America where I can hear the gospel. I'm in a land where I've got plenty. I've got it because our God, Jesus Christ, gave us everything we got.
That's
the reason you got the country you got.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's not in there, but it works pretty good.
Thank you.
It's good stuff, man.
Hallelujah.
What a rent.
What do you need to do? The voice that might be calling to you here at this church and this preacher and this means of what you got here. Failure isn't final.
Right.
Cast your net out on the right side. Do it again. Cast it out this week coming. Cast the net out. Go out there and get somebody to the Lord. Old Brother Sammy used to say, I preach experiences. This is the way we work. The prayers go up. The power comes down. The saints go out. The sinners come in, that's what he'd say. He said, how many of you tonight going to bring somebody with you tomorrow night?
Right.
Raise your hand up. How many is going to bring somebody with you tomorrow night? How many did you bring tonight? Do you feel that seat up? How many did you bring to the services? So they go out that door, they get a hold of their sisters or brothers, their friends or whatever it was. Hey, you need to come to church tonight. You need to come to church tonight. Well, what do you need to come? You need to come to church. Get your life right with God. Get yourself in the way. Get back in right with God. Cast the net out. Throw it out again. The voice says, cast your net out.
Amen.
Right.
Failure's not final.
Amen.
Failure's not final.
Thank God.
Not only the call, not only the casting, but the communion, which said, when they caught all those fish, old Peter said, it's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran into the shore. And he didn't say, who art thou? Because they knew who he was. And he sat down and he dined with Jesus. And Jesus fed him. Jesus fed him. And he started talking to him. And this is what he said to him. He said, Peter, you love me more than that fishing. You love me more than your job. You love me more than everything else. You love me more. Do you love me more, Peter? And you hear people say, I love the Lord. I just don't know how much I love the Lord. I hear preachers say, no, don't preachers, I'm at you.
Yeah.
I love the Lord. I really love God. I really love the Lord. I love the Lord. He says, I want you to prove to me how much you love me, Peter.
Yes.
Prove to me how much you love me, Peter. Well, how can I prove how much I love you, Lord? Feed my sheep.
That's right.
Do you mean that will prove I love you? That will prove that I love you if you're looking for a feeling? You're looking for that place of great love relationship? You're looking for that place of emotions and feelings about your love for the Lord. He says, feed my sheep.
Yes, sir.
Love is an action.
That's
love is what you do.
Yep.
Love is a way of action. It's a verb in there anyway. In the Greek, it's a verb. It's not an adjective. It's an action.
That's right. It's an action word.
So what you do.
Show me, don't tell
me. Show me your love, buddy. How much do I love you? I give myself for you. I sacrifice my life for you. I give everything I got for you. I love you, Lord. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep.
Right.
If you like you say you love the Lord, feed my sheep.
Amen.
You got to know a lot of times, it ain't no easy thing feeding sheep.
No.
And he said, feed them too.
Amen.
Can't get any food from that preacher.
Right.
You got to feed them.
Sir.
You know? And here's what you're going to get from how we get as mean and tough of preachers as we are. He didn't say fleece them. You know, he said feed them.
Sir.
Feed them. Well, I don't think most of them sheep, God, most of them goats.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Sound more like a goat than you do a sheep. Yeah. Sheep goes bah.
That's right.
Bah. We were getting on to Galahara one night, and old Tim Ramey was a missionary out of our church, local missionary, jail ministry, and all that stuff. And we had about 10 o'clock. There's a bunch of old dope head druggies that got right, and they were separating their life and cleaning out the house, you know. Just the preaching that night going on.
Good.
They were throwing pants away and getting rid of this and throwing this out. Man, they were getting all cleaned up. As one boy said, his wife came home, just cleaned the closet out. Well, Leland Frazier's wife, you know, Brother Frazier got that church out there. They got right in one of my tent meetings years ago. You know, and his wife went home after one meeting with Brother Sammy. She went home and he said she just took the closet and just cleaned the closet out, throwing it out the door, changed the whole wardrobe. You know what I mean? They were just filling out this and everything, separating. They're just growing in the Lord, you know. Just growing up and you're just teaching them the right things and everything else. So that night it got on about 10 o'clock. It was late that night. You know, and old Tim Ramey, his wife, now she's a godly lady. It wasn't her. But she was at the meeting. Tim had been in the jails, and he finally got home. And he called and left on my answering system. That's when I had a cell telephone. And it said, bah. that's why I picked it up. And I told it, bah. You know, he's going on, you know, bah. And he said, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, let my people go. You know, I ain't keeping them here. They're doing it themselves. You know, they're doing it themselves. You know, amen. You know, in those areas of feeding the sheep, you know, and feed those sheep, boy. You got to feed those sheep.
Amen.
You know, if you love the Lord, you got to feed those sheep.
Yes, sir.
You know, then he asked him again. Not only do you feed the sheep and the babes, but you see the sheep and the big ones. You got to feed the big boys. You feed the little lambs. You feed those little lambs, you know. Father Abraham had many sons. You feed those little lambs. I got a little boy right here a while ago.
Yeah.
This morning was singing, you know, and you're trying to get him to sing. Lay back and say, that's a little lamb. That's a little bitty one, you know. I know spiritually there's lambs too in that area, but there's the little ones. Then there's the big ones. There's some more that are big people, but they act like little kids. I mean, you know what I mean? They might be big in age, but they act like a little kid. You know what I mean? You know, they ain't ever grown up. They ain't grown up a bit. But you got to feed that bunch. You got to feed that bunch that's never grown up. Never got a one day. They're about 70 years old, still about 5 years old in the Lord. Amen. They've been some all in and say, never grown up. Never grown up. You know, if you stay that same way, you're gonna have a miserable life. They not only the lambs, the little ones, and not only the babes, the big ones, but you got to feed the broken ones.
Yeah.
Right. Some of those sheep that are wounded.
Sure.
Some of those sheep that have troubles, that they're broken limbs.
Right.
Over in Galatians chapter 6, talks about the restoring of the brethren. Therefore, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness.
Sure.
That word restore is to mend a broken place. It's the same word used in Psalm 23 about restoring. He restoreth my soul. The great shepherd in Psalm 23 is taking care of the sheep. You know, and he leads them in the paths of righteousness. And he says, He restoreth my soul. That's the same word of men in broken arms, men in broken bones, men of broken bones. Mm-hmm. That you got there some that as you are walking, you know the voice from the shore says, come and dine. Come and dine with me, Peter. Come and sit with me, Peter. Dine here, Peter. Sit down and commune with me, Peter. The voice says for you to come and sit down with him. Come and dine with me, Peter. And he turns around to him. He said, Peter, you love me. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep.
Aye.
Call God to feed those sheep.
Sir.
And there's broken ones. My nephew had died here just the other day. Unbelievable why he died. He was a great preacher. He finished over Tabernacle with Brother Siler years back. And he went down to a church on Sand Mountain. Became principal of a Christian school. Going up the ladder, the piano player got him. He ran away with her. Didn't stay 1 week. He brought her back. She went back to her husband. He tried to make his marriage go on. Got out of church for years. Here about a year ago, he got right with God and tried to get back into the church. Tried to do the work again.
Yeah.
But that scar was on him.
That's right.
And it's not a matter of whether you're so critical or what you got to say about it. It's a matter of God. He said, would you be disapproved? Therefore, keep that body under subjection. Mm. Least you become a castaway. You be disapproved of God. Just to give you a good illustration about that, I used to tell them young preachers all the time, you know. I said, it's like you was in a football game, quarterback gets back and the receiver runs his route perfect.
Right.
Everything's running real perfect and to throw that pass to that receiver. He takes that ball and he scores and goes across that game and goes across the end zone. The crowds are shouting and roaring about the touchdown, touchdown. Mm-hmm. But way back up there when the play started was a flag laying on the ground.
Right.
There was a flag laying on the ground. You could go on. There's a lot of men going on with scars like that in their life.
Yes, sir.
But my friend back up there, every bit of it was just for God. The disqualification came. When he went down there with that woman.
Right.
You say, well, did not many people get saved? I didn't say that. Did not many get to God? No. When you give that life over, boy, and you take that life and you let the woman get you and get in a matter of whether and that comes a mark on your life, God cuts you off. Right. God disapproves you. And from that point on, there might be a great multitude. There might be a lot of hearing. There might be a lot. You don't get no credit for it. The word of God will not return unto him void.
Sir.
The word of God is what saves men.
Right.
The word of God is what changes lives. I don't care if Balaam's ass is doing the talking. That word of God can save. The word of God will not return unto him void.
Sir.
But the qualifications and the work of a preacher in the matter of what God said for he ought to be, he better keep his life in order. He better hear the voice from the shore that said, you better keep your life right. You better stay out in all places. You better not get around the wrong woman. You better not do the wrong thing. Keep your life pure.
Amen.
Keep your life holy. Keep your life right with God. And whenever you get in a fight with the battle of the flesh, don't beat everybody up with your own stinking flesh. It's your life that needs to be crucified. It's you that need to die.
Amen.
And telling everybody else they need to die. You need to die.
Right. That's right, preacher.
Right.
Meet him at the grave. Right.
That's right.
I'm good for preaching to preachers. That's why I don't have too many meetings.
I love it, preacher. Amen, thank you. I appreciate
preacher,
it.
Preacher likes preaching,
praise
don't
God.
He, brother?
Man,
he
I
likes
like
iron sharpening iron.
I need
iron,
it, preacher.
Iron
I need it.
Iron.
Right.
You know, a preacher going on now,
praise
you know.
God, get me.
But I'm talking
Amen.
To the preachers right now about this. You preachers, feed those sheep.
Right.
Feed the babes.
Right. Get
feed
me,
the
preacher.
Bigger ones.
Right.
Feed the broken ones. Feed that broken one. That boy, now I'm telling about my nephew. He got back in. But one time, but when God was dealing with him, before all that, he had a broken arm. He came up to the church I was pastoring the gateway. He came in, my old deacon had him, he come in that broken arm. He said, what did God do to you? He didn't say nothing. He just looked at him. That old deacon, he said, what did God do to you, boy? You know, and he said, nothing. He hadn't run away with that girl there yet, but God's trying to stop him. God's trying to stop him.
Sure.
You know, God stepped forward to him. God will try to stop you. God will try to do it. God tried to stop my daughter in a lot of ways. God will put up ourselves and said, you better stop. You better quit feeding that flesh. You better quit going there. You better quit talking to that woman that way. You better quit acting that way toward her. You better quit that stuff. If you don't, then God will take you. He'll break your bones, buddy. What do you want out of me, God? Feed my sheep. Feed my babes. Feed my babes. Feed my broken ones. You know, brother, you as a lost man, you got a lot of things that you know people are broken over as a lost, in your lost way. Things that you can relate with a lot of people. Men.
Sure.
Now, your son can't. He ain't certain. He wasn't there. All he knows is about it. He knows that what that can do. But that there's no sign that you got to go out and experience that kind of sin to be up here with compassionate people.
No, no.
That's right.
You don't have to go there. You don't supposed to go there.
Man.
If you want to try to talk to your children about the sin of in their life, about going into sin, don't bring your stinking past up about it and try to convince them not to go that way. Why do you tell them not to go that way? God said not to go that way.
Amen.
The word of God says not to go
Amen.
That way.
That's
the word
right.
of God tells you. It's not your dad that said, y'all not do that because this is what happened to you. No, you ought to say the Lord says don't do that. The word of God says
Sir.
Don't go there. The word of God says to live that way. The word of God says this is the way I do.
Hey, man.
You won't have
right.
to argue with it then. You won't have to worry about comparing.
Right.
You won't have to do with no comparing.
Right.
All you said, why am I living this way?
That's
Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. That's why I live like this.
Yeah.
That's why I do like
That's
I do.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Sure.
That's what the Bible says. Amen. The call. Have you any meat? Just admit it. All these places.
Yeah.
No. We ain't caught nothing. We'll cast it out on the right side.
Yeah.
What do you mean do it the same way it's always been done? Cast it out. And then when you start catching the fish, you're going to run to the Lord. He said, come and die.
Yeah.
And when you come and die, He's going to commune with you.
Sir.
And you're going to ask him, do you love me? And you tell him, you said, thou knowest all things, Lord. Why didn't you ask me three times for? Because you denied me three times.
That's right.
That's good.
He denied me three times. Boy, wasn't it strange though? He asked old Peter. Go tell old Peter.
Yeah.
Go tell that old one that just denied me. Go tell the one that said, I don't know him. Your speech betrayeth you, Peter. I don't know him. No. Isn't that something?
Son.
I'm glad it's not whether I know him. It's whether he knows me.
Right.
He knows me.
That's right.
Because Peter said, thou knowest all things, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not a matter of how much I know him. I want to know him. I didn't want to know until I got saved, but he knows me.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, his son, he knows me. And that day he called my name, he knows me.
Yeah.
And he told that bunch over there about it. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you.
Sir.
And I'm glad he got to know me one day, about 40 years ago.
Hallelujah.
I got to know me.
Man.
And then I got to know him.
Amen.
And I'm learning more about him every day.
Sir.
Got two more points. I'm a real short preacher nowadays, I'm old. The call, have you any meat? The commission, cast on the right side. The communion, who art thou? Who art thou? And then the commitment. Then the commendation. He talks about John. He says to Peter, this is where I am. This is where I am. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, in verse 18, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. I said that to Brother Churchill. I don't know where I'm headed now. I know we're in such a place right here. And I'm glad to be here. Understand? I know it's just a few. And I know it's hard. And I know the times are really disappointing. And I know the times are what they are. And we are wondering where God's at. You know, we want a meeting. We'd like to see God move and in the meetings. That's everywhere. Some of them, they just like to keep their doors open.
Amen.
Just like to keep their doors open. But the Lord is not done, brother, and I know the same desire. He's not done with us yet.
All right.
He's not done with us yet, Brother Joe. When I was young, I girded myself, but when I get old, I'll go where places I wouldn't have gone when I was young. I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't think pastoring is. But in the matter of my stand in some places, it's real dangerous. Because I really get vocal in some places. You know, I'm talking to God's sheep right now. And I better handle myself right. God said, you're talking to my sheep. You better be real careful. You know, you better treat them right.
Good.
But when I get out there and start facing that devil, I get the Vietnam spirit. You know what I mean? You snake, you viper, you get the good bird. You know? If you hesitate in the face of an apostate, you'll capitulate. You'll do anything just to have a matter of peace. Whatever it takes to have peace, I'm ready to do. That's a compromiser. You know, well, ain't gonna be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. Right. Old Jehu was riding out there to kill Jezebel. And he come out there and he said, will there be peace? Will there be peace? And he looked there and he said, there'll never be any peace as long as the witchcraft and the whoredoms of your mama is in the land. As long as the witchcraft and the whoredoms that's going on in our country and the matter of the harlotry whore, there ain't gonna be no peace. It's going to be nothing but war between the ecumenical system and all that.
Yeah.
Before all that, it's going to be nothing but war, but yeah. War. But one day, a long time ago, the Prince of Peace came into my heart. Amen. I'm not looking for him to come. I'm looking for him to take me out. I've got peace with God.
Right.
I've got peace with God in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I want the peace of God to rule my life. I want it to rule my life.
Right.
I want to live in peace with God. I want to live in a peaceful environment, don't you? And the only way it's going to be is through Jesus.
That's all. Good stuff, man.
Sure would be make the devil real mad if y'all had a holy Christmas. You'd make him mad. You got joy down in your heart. Look down in your heart. What you so happy about? I ain't happy, I'm full of God.
Thanks.
What you know, son? You ain't ever met him. They said, oh, I've heard about him all the time. I said, you might have heard about him, but you ain't met him.
Right.
You hear a lot about him, but have you ever met Jesus? Have you ever met him under no tree somewhere? You know, get him showing the picture of that tree where he met Jesus. Under that tree, buddy. He took your sins away. Amen. He washed them away. Never to be remembered no more.
Right,
and he come up out of that tree. And he found him up on a limb, about 10 foot high. Jumping up and down on that limb. Said, I got saved.
Good.
Yeah. Metaphors. The voice and his commendation. What the Lord commends. We're talking about comparing.
Yes, sir.
Don't compare yourself with other ministries.
Oh, right.
Don't start comparing the church up the road. Or what somebody could you compare? That's not wise.
That's right.
What you want is the commendation of God.
Man.
You want God to commend you. At the end of that chapter. If the Lord would commend you. The Lord will commend you. He said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Nobody but in all your flesh. God don't like that. But if his Holy Ghost will work in you and he commends your ministry, he commends your church, he commends your life, the great commendation of God. And if you get old, you're not all that old, are you, brother? How old are you?
60s,
57.
57? Oh, still old.
57? I didn't think you was that old. You were 67, right?
Yes, sir.
Son, you're the same age as my daughter, man. I'm going to call you a boy, hey, man. I'm 72, man. I know you're a young man, you're a young lady, man. My daughter's 50 now, and my grandson and my daughter's son-in-law, he's 53 the other day. You know, he told me that, you know. I said, my goodness, y'all getting old. You know, ain't touching me, amen. But when I get old, when you get old, you're going to do things that God, talking about the measure of faith, discussing that the other night. There's things that you're going to do that you couldn't have done when you were young.
Right.
You wouldn't have been able to do that. But I have made your faith. I have put you in places. I have created and made a place that it will increase your faith. This with my daughter. Neither either increase my faith or I will fail. But he said to that of Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Oh, my brother. I was in a camp meeting one time. Old Larry Wells is preaching. He's preaching John 17 about Jesus praying for you.
Oh,
he said, Brother Wells, y'all know Brother Wells.
Right.
You know, Brother Wells, he'd get the pacing back and forth. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He just said, oh, Lord. He said, don't you understand that was the very God of heaven that came down in flesh.
Right.
That was the very God of the everlasting God that bowed down in that garden that day.
Right.
It was God himself that bowed down there. And it was God that prayed for you. John 17 was literal God. You do believe that? That Jesus was 100% God and 100%
right.
man?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
God prayed for you. Right. God prayed for
That's
you.
Right.
All of a sudden the Holy Ooh. Ghost has spoke to my heart. He said, I prayed for you.
Right.
I prayed for you. So that I crawled to the altar. I got down on the altar.
Right.
I got one of them heave-ho cries. You I couldn't say nothing. All I could do was just cry. I said, oh Lord,
That's
oh God, my God. And I want to let you all know something right now. I have a great high priest in heaven. His name is Jesus.
Right.
He makes intercession for me
yes.
right now. He's done praying for me right
yes.
now.
Yes.
And he said, Father, that's my son. That's mine. He's mine. And God, would you help him? I've got mercy from him. I've got grace from him.
Right.
And he touches the feelings of my infirmities. I get low. I get down. I get defeated. I get all tore up. But the Holy Ghost, man, the Holy Ghost will raise you up.
Right.
He'll raise you up.
Sure.
Right.
That's exactly right.
You know, way I'd be standing here this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm still very weak. I'm not talking about physically because of my body. But there's things that's before us, preacher. You're getting up in age. Well, these are, well, how old are you, brother?
87.
87. I knew you was older than me. I could tell by looking at you. You know, I knew you was older than me. And you won't tell nobody.
Lying preacher.
I know it. You make a good preacher. You kind of learn how to lie a little bit or you never make it. You know, so.
So 52, man.
I was real serious right there when you said that. I would believe me right down the serious line. And all of a sudden you turn me other. I don't even know what I'm going to tell you.
Tom, what an act. Steer a preacher wrong.
Well, let me just cover right in there again. It's going to be places you go when you get older.
That's what you're talking about.
When you get older, that's why you got to have a outline. I'm following my outline. Y'all are appreciating this, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And I have stuck with my outline.
Amazed.
You're amazed. So that's the only way he'd talk to me. I mean, he wouldn't get along.
Right.
If he couldn't be polite and nice to me, I'd think something's wrong with him.
Right.
You know, what's wrong with him anyway. You know, don't be talking nice to me, you Yankee. I mean,
that's right.
You don't know how to handle that, do you? Most people don't know how to handle that. You know how much I love you and love him, he loves me.
That's right.
You know, right. But a bunch of them, they just do it spitefully. They're so spiteful about it, you know. I really do like Yankees. Well, once in a while. It's so before you sit up, brother. I shouldn't get on this stuff. I got one more point, buddy. I'm sitting there and I'm talking to that. And I'm getting my biscuit and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And that young girl, she's always here because she'll ask me questions and I'll preach to her a little bit and everybody's listening. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's listening. So I'll give them a little message or two while I'm getting my biscuits and gravy. And she said, now I've come in there a lot of times and you know, you get these Baptist daughters. You know, and I've got in trouble with that too. I'd come in this one place and I'd have about 30 or 40 daughters. And this one place I'd go in there, this lady's there, and she was a half Jew. And I come in and I said, well, I got all these Baptist daughters here. Would you just give me 20 and 40, you know? And she'd count them all out. She said, Brother Harvey, could I give you something? And I said, well, yeah. She said, I'm a half Jew. She said, my dad was a full-blooded Jew. And he married my mama during World War II. And during the time of the war. And when he came back, he had to divorce her because of the Jews said he couldn't marry a Gentile. And he divorced her and threw her out with nothing, me and her both. And he said, we started attending a Baptist church. And she said, Mama got saved and I got saved at that church. He said, we didn't have no money at all and Mama would have a dollar. And when they come by with that offering plate, she would be so proud to put her little dollar, that's all she had. She said she'd be so proud to put that little dollar in that offering plate. I said, I won't say nothing about Baptist dollars no more. I won't say a thing. It's a Baptist dollar, you know. She said she'd be so proud to put that dollar. That's all she had. Or some of it's all they got.
Yeah.
And the widow's mite is very important.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That little old dollar, that little old giving, the little change that's in the kid's pocket. I've had kids come up to me and give me quarters and dollars. I won't give that to you, Brother Harvey. I want to give you this little dollar. A kid come up to you and give you something.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, and you come walking into church, preachers, and those kids run to you.
Right.
They run to you, and they'll smile at you. They look at you. I turn around. She's not over there. There she is. I turn around, looked at her this morning, and she just started smiling, though. You see? She just started smiling. You know, get them to smile at you, preacher. Get the kids run up to you when you come in. I'm not saying this back a long time ago when I had God on me. I don't have nothing now. I'm about dead at 4 o'clock. But anyway, I'm not saying this to the glory of God. And said to me, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus? No, I'm not Jesus. But I want to be like him, don't you?
Yes.
I want to be his servant. I want to love him with all my heart. I want him to help every part and every ounce of me. All the way down through this whole thing, brother. At the end of my life, at the end of this thing, I don't know what it is. But I know that to serve the Lord is not no ball game. It ain't no little social event. It ain't something under else. See how many entertainment you get. It's not excitement time. It's not hip hop, top, and primitive music. It's not these charismatic praise and worship stuff. I mean, when the Holy Ghost gets in your heart and starts working in your life, there is an experience of love. There is an experience of God that you've never known before. I get on that phone and say, God, you're praying for me. You're praying for
me. Man.
My Savior is at the throne of grace. I'm praying for me.
Sir. Thank God he prayed for me.
Coming down. Jesus said, sit down, Peter. Come and die. Brother, I don't know your whole real well, but I know you're strong. And he'll say to you, you love me more than you do. Jesus will say to you, do you love me? And you'll say, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Watch them big boys too, you know how to handle them. You're not broken people.
Sir.
Broken. Mend their lives. When they do a great hospital in the sweet coming, but you go get some of these broken lives.
Yes, sir.
Bring some of these broken lives in here. And during the week that you pray the anointing of God be upon earth. I'm trying to think of First Tim. Sid called them by their names. John did. It's not being disrespectful to call him. I think that you ought to call him Pastor. You ought to respect him in the matter of calling him Pastor. But there's some, you know. I think that I might be able to sometimes say David.
Right.
You know, when it gets real close.
Right.
We become like, they become real close to him, and I can say Zach. You'll have to pray a long time before I call Mr. McVeigh that Tim. Tim. Brother Church, I don't know you personally.
Brother Church.
Is that good? Come commune with me. Commune with me, the Lord says. A voice from the shore says, come and die.
Man.
Come and commune with me. You love my sheep? Yeah, Lord. You love me more than these? Yeah, Lord. Lovest thou me, Peter? He says it the third time. Lovest thou me, Peter? Yeah, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know me. You know me better than anybody knows me.
All right.
And when you get old, he'll gird you. And then you got to watch one more thing there. Quit worrying about what somebody else is going to do. He said, what about old John? He said, old John's going to do what about old John?
He said, what's that to you, Peter?
You don't need to worry about what they're doing up the road.
No.
You don't need to worry about what old so-and-so's going to do. You don't need to worry about what young preacher going to do. You don't know what you want somebody. Don't worry about what somebody else is going to do. What about him? What about him? He said, what is that to you?
It's good.
What is that to you? What did he say after that? Follow thou me.
Sir.
Follow me. We're Baptists by doctrine and teaching, but who are we following?
Right.
We're following the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Follow thou me.
Yes, sir.
Follow me. Who are you going to follow? Follow the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Me. God.
An old song that made where many surrendered their lives to God. And you say, you have a lot of memories at Larry Raines Camp Meeting back in the 80s. That's where all my beginnings was. We've drawn about 1,000, 1,500 people.
That's good.
Many, many preachers. All them old preachers we talked about, Ed Madden, all of them, Roy Goodson, the whole gang of them, Doctor, the man that taught Brother Jones, whatever his name was, they were all there. I'm going to fix it on. I'm no taller than other spirits, and I don't want to, but I want to. We're getting it on, buddy. I mean, all of us young preachers, we go to camp meeting. By Wednesday, we couldn't even talk. We'd be so hoarse. Right. From shouting and going on, you couldn't even talk, you know. And you're going on. And one night, Doctor, what was his name? He was a great teacher, you know, and he knew that book, boy, unbelievable. He taught Brother Jones, you know, and he had been in the fields. He stood up there at night. He got up and testified. He said, I ain't ever been anything like this. He said, but it's about the best thing. He said, I wish I was young again. He said, I wish I was, but I'm sure enjoying you all. I'm enjoying you all. And the shouting and going on and worshiping God in those beginning days, you know. Once I was young, now I'm old. I might see the righteous forsake for his seed begging bread. I'm at the state and condition of my old age. My Lord's never failed me.
Right.
God's never let me down, even in the death of my daughter. He ain't never let me down. So what are you going to do? I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord. Follow thou me.
Yes, sir.
And there was a song that they sung a lot in that camp meeting. I sure hope I didn't lose that. I had it here somewhere in this Bible. Let's see if I can remember it. Just one line of it anyway. There's a voice calling me from a wide open tree, and it whispers, come closer to me. And then it goes on, whatever it takes to draw closer to thee, Lord, I would be willing to do whatever it takes to be more like you. That's what I'd be willing to do.
Aye.
Take my sunshine and rain, comfort and pain. That's what I'd be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. Would you be willing to do it? That song went on. I mean, hundreds and hundreds came to the altar. Hundreds came to the altar. Said, I'll be willing to do, Lord, whatever it takes to be more like you. Why don't this church commit and start making memories that when you get old like me, I remember that Sunday that when God was there and I started turning toward God. I remember that morning, that Monday night, when old brother Tim came in and started preaching. He couldn't even get to preaching for the people coming to the altar. Couldn't even get to talking for them coming up and getting right. For people seeking the salvation. People seeking a revival. Seeking God to touch their life. And said, whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes to be more like you. That's what I'd be willing to do. Do you hear the voice calling from the shore? Calling from the shore. Finally got to preach. You think it's going to happen just Monday night? It takes time to have a Bible. Brother Sammy said, I won't hold a meeting less than 2 weeks. You just getting them ready the first week.
That's good.
That's right.
seeking the Lord, the voice calling from the shore is, have you any meat? I don't see any.
Why don't you fill this pew?
That's good.
Well, we've been fishing, ain't caught anything. Cast it out on the right side.
Do it the same way it's always been done. Priors go up. Power comes down. The saints go out. The sinners come in. That's the way Brother Sammy did. The priors go up this week. The power will come down. You'll go out and bring the sinner in. Throw it on the right side. Then have communion with God. Have some communion with God. Come as he sat down, he said, come and dine. And he'll carry you where you've never been before. Stretched his arm out. Said, Lord, I'm not able. That's what I told the preacher. I've got to a certain place, but I know I can't do nothing no more. I'm so weak. I'm weak. But he carries you in your weakness. When you become weak, he becomes strong.
That's right.
That's right. I'm not going my last miles just to find a place. I said about a year ago, I'm going to make every moment count. Every message clear. And every move, wherever I go, correct.
Right.
I'm honored to be here. I'm glad to be here because God is watching and he's listening. And he's waiting on you. He's calling, the voice of God calls. Now, is there any... Might not be so tonight. Well, why don't you start seeking the Lord this week? And quit living in your misery. Quit going home and sitting down and looking at the walls. Or talking to each other. Or trying to find something in your life. You know where you're going to find it? Right there. You're going to shuck your pride. Get rid of yourself. Come out of that seat. And go through there and let everybody see you. Oh, well, you'd like to shuck your pride.
That's right.
That's right.
You say, I ain't proud. Get out of your seat and see you are. I had to get rid of my pride, boy.
Yes, sir.
Now it's my call to preach at night. Old Ed Blue come across there looking at me. Got up right in my face, 6'8", slobbering slot all over him. Donnie! I said, yes, Brother Ed. I'm about 35 then, man. I was very strong. I could touch him and I could touch him. He said, look, man.
Donnie!
Yes, Brother Ed. Yes, Brother Ed.
Are you right with God? That's what he said. I said, no, Brother Ed. Get it right!
That's good. I like it.
That's what he said. Get it right!
Man.
You know what I did?
Okay, boy. I got on my knees, brother. Mm-hmm. I crawled on that altar. I crawled all the way up on that altar. Y'all, right there, look at that. You know, don't get me a long spirit about me. You know what I mean? You know, that's flesh. You know, that's
right.
Flesh.
Right.
You know, I crawled on the altar. Got down on my face. Surrendered to preach. God been dealing with me. He said, I'll preach, God. I'll preach. I got two brothers already, preachers.
Good.
So I'll preach. And I got up. Mm-hmm. Bill Harvey, assistant director of Rock of Ages, my cousin. I turned around Bill and I said, Bill, God called me to preach. Couldn't find the matron. Miss Tuck was screaming her out. Woo, woo, and shouting going on everywhere, you know. Bill was going through the doors and I was sitting there looking at all of you. They were running everywhere. I wasn't running, I just announced it, you know. I just finally got right, you know.
down through these years, you answered the call of God, the voice of God, and the command of God is feed my sheep. The command is go fishing. The command is to fish. Then commune with Him. Commune with Him. Have a communion with God in your life. You get alone with God and He talks to you. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Well, feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Take care of my people. And then the commendation. Commendation.
Oh boy.
What's old John going to do? Don't you worry about John. Don't worry about this up the road. Don't worry about the comparing.
It's good. Quit
worrying about him. Get the commendation of God. Let God commend you. Let God commend your work.
Right.
Let God say, let's right. come on the place. When they come in, God's around. God's in the presence. God's commending you. God's doing the work. Let that bunch go. Don't worry about them. Win the lost. Bring them in. Feed the sheep. Commune with God. And then He'll commend you. And then He'll commend you. I finally preached, Zach, I think. Let me pray. Well, I'll go back over it again. Lord, you know in the days that I would stand in this place and the memories that I have, I don't treat it any differently than I am right now. Is the earnestness of it, God, as you have done many times before, it might have been in different places.